The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Breaking News. Culture is religion externalized. Join us as we evaluate Christianity's influence throughout the world and discuss news and events taking place in the Christian community and our world today.
You're listening to the Breaking News Podcast, and I'm your host, Jeremy Walker. Culture is religion externalized, and thank you for joining us as we evaluate Christianity's influence throughout the world and discuss news and events taking place in the Christian community and our world today. The Breaking News Podcast is a production of the Recon Resource Network. For more information on the Recon Resource Network, you can visit our website at thereconresourcenetwork.com. Today's episode is going to be discussing the Breaking News Podcast itself and a few new things that we have developed and things we will continue to develop in the future and things that the listener can find on our website, which is thereconresourcenetwork.com/breaking-news. And you can find our podcast there. But beyond just our podcast episodes, you'll also be able to find our news in review. We're going to be evaluating news and events all throughout the world, and each time we have ourselves a breaking news podcast, we're going to try to bring something new to the listener each and every time. If you joined us last week, we had ourselves many things that were updates with Christianity's March Forward, and we also did a short book review on Backward Christian Soldier by Gary North. Now, one thing we forgot to mention on there, which we will have mentioned on this week, is not only are we going to be doing book reviews periodically on Breaking News Podcast, these are book reviews for Christian Reformed or Christian Reconstructionist books and authors, but we're also going to be giving these books away. That's right, you heard me correctly. We'll also be giving these books away for free. So after we do a book review and we air it here on Breaking News Podcast, we're also going to post to our Facebook page a link that you can click on. And once you go to our website, it'll have a form for you where you can enter to win each of our books that we give away absolutely for free. Now, Backward Christian Soldier, you can find on our website the book giveaway by going to our news in review, which we're going to discuss here in a little bit. But go ahead and go to our website at thereconresourcenetwork.com/breaking-news. Scroll to the bottom and you'll see our very first news in review link. And on there, you'll go ahead and click on that. It will be January 29th through February 1st, 2018 is the one you're looking for. And as you scroll through, you'll find the episode we did, which was last week's episode on Backward Christian Soldier book review, and also our event updates we did. And you'll also find a link so you can enter to win Backward Christian Soldier by Gary North absolutely for free. If you are unfamiliar with Backward Christian Soldier, now's a great time to get the book absolutely for free. Go ahead and listen to the episode we did on the short book review as well. But we are trying to give this book away absolutely for free. And each and every time we do a book review, we'll also be giving away each and every single one of these books absolutely free. So this is your chance to get a book for free, to read it for yourself, and to share it with friends and or family. Now this week on Breaking News Podcast, we don't have as many updates as we did last week, but our update is actually going to be what we're doing with our news in review. If you haven't done so yet, you can go to our Facebook page, which is go to Facebook, and once you're on Facebook, go into the search bar and search Breaking News Podcast. You should find us there. Once you find us there, you're going to be able to like our page, and you can follow our updates as we, throughout the week, post news and events we find to be interesting or things that should be shared with the Christian community. Now, these updates are not necessarily just concerning the Christian community itself. Some of them will be, yes. Some of them will just be news and events throughout the world. Lots of people do like to focus on politics. Politics is very important. But we want to focus on the culture, as we find culture is religion externalized, as we've mentioned before. Most of the posts you're going to find there and news and events that we're going to post are going to be things that have to do with the general public and the general culture as a whole. So there's going to be a variety of different things that we have. Now, if you'd like to draw attention, or at least our attention, to news and events going on throughout the world, you can always tag us in any of your stuff or share it to our page. Now, another thing we've also started on the Recon Resource Network, which is also going to be part of our updates, small updates that it is that the Recon Resource Network also has a discussion group, which we have to try to help people add news and events, updates, and other things to our calendars or to draw our attention to. You can search in the search bar, the Recon Resource Network discussion group, and you should be able to find it there, or go to the Recon Resource Network Facebook page by typing in the Recon Resource Network in the Facebook search bar, and you can find the discussion group from there as well. But this is going to make it very easy for people to share news and events with us. So if you haven't gone ahead and liked that page or entered our group, go ahead and do so. This is hopefully going to be a tool to help people give us news and information that they want us to share with other people or to post to our website. So if that's one of the things you could be interested in, go ahead to that, like our page, join our group, and of course, help us keep everyone in the Christian community informed. Now, those are going to be some of the basic just FYIs here to begin our podcast, but this is going to be a general news and events, looking at the culture itself and discussing what Christians and Christian Reconstructionists and Christian Reform people should be looking at these events, some of the things that they should be thinking about and how they should look at these things. But the culture is religion externalized, and it's very important for people to understand because they just think that it's just news and events. But what it really shows you is the climate in which we live and the climate in which we find ourselves and, of course, the direction that society is going. Now, if our jobs are to go through and disciple the nations, then we should be making an impact in the culture and in society. Now, we're going to go ahead and go through some of our news and event updates that we had. This comes from our January 2018. It was January 29th through February 1st, 2018. News in review, and you can once again find that on our website, and you can find all the articles there. We'll also be posting these articles to our Facebook page and a post as well each Friday. So all the events and things that we find and post to our Facebook page, we'll put together in a news in review post. And so if you miss something throughout the week, you can just click on this one little link here from our website or from the Facebook page and find all the different news articles and events that we have posted there throughout the week. And so in one spot, you'll be able to see everything. Also, these are also the news and events we'll touch on periodically throughout the week and the various podcasts that we do as well. So if you'd like to see some of the things we're going to discuss ahead of time, you can go ahead and go and look at that and read some of the things as well and evaluate the culture yourself as you read. Now, a few things that we went through, we're going to run through some of these ideas here, briefly talk about them as we go. This is the first news in review update that we're going to be doing, discussing the culture and the news and the events that we posted throughout the week. But to begin with, there was one that we posted that's on here. It talks about New Mexico and how New Mexico wanted to become the first state in the nation to make students apply for college. Now, if you read the article, which you can actually go to our news and review update and you click on read article, it'll take you to the actual article itself, read the full thing. What it was discussing is discussing a problem that children had, high school students, about deciding for their future what they're going to do. So what they wanted to do is have people in New Mexico partner with the guidance counselors and the teachers and the parents to help these high school students lay out the future of what they wanted to do. And for them, the idea was to enroll in college. The only problem is that traditional college is not practical for most people. Most of the time when people are thinking about going to college, they're just going to college because that's what they think they're supposed to do. Not necessarily because it's a vocation that they're looking to do or because going to college will help them go into a field specifically that they are interested in, maybe they have gifted for, maybe it's their calling. And we've discussed this quite a bit, that college itself is really just a waste of time for most people. They end up going to college, they end up going 4 years, 6 years, get a college degree in something that they're never going to use. And then as they get out of college, they now have $20, $40, $60, $80, $100,000 in debt. And now they have a degree that's not worth anything, and of course they have a degree in something that they're never going to use. Because what they're doing is they're asking 18-year-old children to make decisions for their future, specifically about college. And college itself, once again, is being pushed on children. And this is something, if you haven't thought about this before, for your children or your family, you certainly should. And we're going to try to post some links and things like that more on our page. But the idea that college is right for everyone is a big mistake, the majority of the time, traditional college, that is. In fact, most people have been talking about recently the need for tradesmen. These are people that actually have skills in doing something. And the sad part is the majority of college degrees today don't actually teach you how to do anything. If you take the educational field about being a teacher, for instance, you're going to go in there 2, 4, 6 years in college, and then what you're going to find out is that they never teach you how to be a teacher. You're never in the classroom. And in fact, I've seen many people who've come out of colleges thinking they want to be a teacher and find out they don't have patience for it. It's not something that they really like to do, nor are gifted at doing, nor want to do. And so they go into a different field that has nothing to do with the degree that they want. I remember talking to somebody one time. We asked a young person who was about ready to leave the homeschool and go into college, or the idea of the workforce. And they were asked, what is it you want to do? And they replied they wanted to be a marine biologist. Now, this was just something that was a fanciful idea because the person thought that they liked to work with animals. No idea what that means about being a marine biologist. No idea about what's entailed in this field. Just, I think I might go to college, become a marine biologist. Now, you're asking these children to make decisions about things that can affect their future, kind of like buying a house or a mortgage, and that can affect their entire future, put them in debt for a very long time for things that they'll never use. So this is a very bad idea. The idea of the intention to direct children to help them plan for their future, a very good idea. But the majority of the time, traditional schooling does not prepare children for school. It doesn't prepare children about how to have a work ethic, how to do something to completion. In fact, most of the schooling we have today has nothing to do with trades, craft at all. And most children leave high school never being able to hold down a job. They've never had to be somewhere on time besides being in school. And they've never had to work for a boss, never had to work with people, have deadlines. And so if you want to help your children, don't wait until high school and later. You should be preparing your children from the time they're very young on how to do something to completion, the basic life skills that they will need. But the idea of making something mandatory like college, the only thing that that would do would be to fill and line the pockets of the people that use these students to go into debt so that they can live off the debt of these children. It's a form of modern slavery, but it's never discussed like that. But we'll go ahead and move on from there. Hopefully this article will give you something to think about, where New Mexico wants to be the first state in the nation to make students apply for college. The intention, I think, is good in some ways that they want children to think about the future, but it's not a good idea if you want people to enroll into traditional college where the majority of people never need to go to. Moving on, we also had some basic ideas, some funny little stories in there. One was about a Monopoly game, which was in new rules for Monopoly, if you're familiar with Monopoly. And Monopoly, they have new rules now which encourages cheating. Well, I don't think this is really a big surprise, because the further we go down and away from Christianity, the further we go away to people doing whatever they want. You make the rules for yourself. Well, the problem is if you have a board game, and it sounds silly, I know it sounds silly, but if you have a board game and it's supposed to have rules, you're supposed to have a banker, supposed to have rules about how the game works, about how many spaces you can move, going to jail, free parking, going past go, how to count $200. Well, if you read the article that we posted, it goes into how each person on their turn is the banker. And then on their turn, they can take money out of the bank as long as they don't get caught. It encourages cheating. I don't know if you did, but as a child, I grew up playing lots of different board games and other things. One of those being Monopoly. It was a very traditional one as well. You had Clue, all kinds of other games, Risk. But the problem was is that there's always rules that go with the game. And the way to win is to follow the rules of the game itself, and that was how you won. In fact, if a person was cheating, the other players did not want to play. That was the problem. And this also is a kind of a more, shows a bigger problem in society, where we can't have people who follow the rules. In fact, if you follow the rules, you can't win, you can't get ahead. This is very indicative of humanism. And Christianity, one of our goals in Christianity is to say, play by the rules and that's the way to win. Follow God's law is the way to prosperity. Cheating, breaking the laws of God, is not the way to prosperity. So I'm not really surprised that this came out. We included this in our updates because it does sound silly, but it's really not silly. It's not a small thing. Teaching children that they don't have to follow the rules in order to get ahead is not a good thing for your children. We talked about earlier about preparing children for the future. Well, preparing children for the future is follow the rules and you will get ahead. Keep the commandments. That's the way to blessing. If you're going to cheat, if you're going to lie, you're going to go into business and think that, well, I don't have to really wait for my paycheck because when the cash drawer is there, all I have to do is pull out some cash at the business that I work for and I can get extra money. See, these things sound small, they sound little, but if you're evaluating culture and the impacts that it has, then it's really not a small thing. So stealing is not the way to get ahead. The way, if you read the article, was this was, if you could get away with it, then it was a plus. This was the way to win. But it doesn't work in the real world. You're not allowed to steal to get ahead. If you steal, you're going to lose. You're going to lose in any job you have, you'll be fired. You cannot be prosperous while you break the commandments. And as Christians, this is something that we should understand and teach. Now, it sounds silly, but the implications of it go very deep. Now, another thing we had on here in our updates was South Carolina bill would require schools to display "In God We Trust" posters in the schools. Now, some people thought this was a good idea. The problem is that as Christians, as Reconstructionists, as Reformed people, we should understand that you can't whitewash the tomb. Many times Jesus talked about this. It's also in the Psalms as well, where it talks about whitewashing the tomb, but there's still carcasses inside. It still stinks inside because there's still dead people. You might make it look good on the outside, but on the inside, there's still something dead in there, and it still gives off a stink. Now, the problem is that you can't be hypocritical. You can't whitewash the tomb and expect it to be good. You actually have to fix the problems on the inside. Taking "In God We Trust" and labeling that in a government school system which teaches against God, teaches against the truth of God, is not a good thing. It's not something that Christians should support the idea of. And the reason why is because placing "In God We Trust" on a school that doesn't teach about God, in fact teaches contrary to Him, is actually absolute hypocrisy. So it's not something that Christians should support. It's not something they should look at and say, this is a positive. We're making headway. We're reconstructing things. Well, no, just posting labels on things that are debauched is not how you fix things. If you have problems, the problem is to get to the root of the problem and to fix it. And in the case of public schools, there's so many problems. Placing "In God We Trust" on it is not going to fix the issues. Humanism is ripe within these government schools, and putting "In God We Trust" is not genuine whatsoever. It's an absolute lie. So that's enough to speak on it, but you can click on the article from our news and review section, and you can read more about it there. But I think there's some ideas that you should think about when reading articles like this, that this is not a good idea. If something is not for God, then it's a lie. If it's not something that actually stands for God, you can't put God's name on it. This is the definition of to use God's name in vain. This is a breach of one of the Ten Commandments. People don't understand that, mostly because they don't understand the commandment, but that is a breach of the commandment, to use God's name in vain when you're not actually following Him. Now, moving down as we go through our news and events, there was also in Pakistan a city that had a 13th child. Now, this was a terrible situation that happened in the city. You can read the article about it. It was devastating to read. But the title was, "A 13th Child is Raped and Killed, and a Pakistani City is Up in Arms." Well, they should be up in arms. Through this city, they had apparently people going around and kidnapping children, utilizing them for their own means, and then murdering them. Now, the problem was is that these people had a right to be up in arms. The society's job is to protect the family, to protect its members, to protect its children. And the people, they were to the extent of almost rioting and wanting to barge down the police stations and hold them accountable themselves. Now, is that biblical? Well, yes. It is the people's responsibility to keep the society safe. It is their responsibility to call them to do their job. It is their job to say, hey, you have to keep me and my family safe. That is your responsibility. And it is their responsibility. A society's job is to dispense justice. Now, you can go through and read the article. It's very heart-wrenching, the many things that they went through and how they found them. But as Christian Reconstructionists, we have to understand something, is what keeps sin at bay? What keeps sin at bay? And the keeping sin at bay is not having a large police force. That's not what keeps sin at bay. What keeps sin at bay is having laws and enforcing those laws. In this case, the kidnapping, rape, and murder of children or anyone is, of course, the death penalty in biblical law. Now, this, of course, puts the person in fear of their life. If the person had real fear, the criminal, this is what suppresses their evil. Now, I think, like I said, go ahead and read the article itself. It was very heart-wrenching. In this Pakistani city, it was terrible as parents. Now, one thing that they missed, that they were holding the people accountable, is correct. But one thing the police said in the article was that the parents had a responsibility to keep their children safe. Now, that is where the rub is. We cannot push our responsibilities off onto the public. Parents have a duty and responsibility to keep their family safe. They can't say, well, I'm going to be a responsible person, let my children go out at night alone, and then when something happens, I'm going to blame somebody else for not keeping them safe. So the police had some good points here, and that is something we have to learn as Christian Reconstructionists, that we're supposed to call the family back to its purpose, and it's not to lean on society to keep its members safe, but it's their duty to keep them safe from harm primarily. And so they did make some points here. Sadly, in many situations where the children were allowed to go out at night alone, and it was terrible circumstances. But you can read on this. But I think what we can learn from this is that one of our responsibilities is to, as a family, keep our children safe. And on top of that, yes, we should hold our officials and police and other law enforcement people accountable if they don't provide and dispense justice. But we can't hold them responsible if we don't hold ourselves first responsible. Now, moving on with some of our other articles, we can find there was a girl who, when she was the age, I believe it was 12 years old, she had been inspired by what was a game called Slender Man, and she'd gone and stabbed somebody near her age and attempted murder for this. Now, this, some years have gone by, 2017, the child's much older now, I believe 15 years old, and she got 40 years in a mental institution because she said that she was mentally unstable. Well, as Christian Reconstructionists, we should understand, and as Christians, that murder itself is not a mental disease, it's a sin. And that's the problem right there. And we can't give people an excuse, no matter what the excuse is. We can't say, well, you were confused, you were mentally disturbed. If a person murders somebody, their frame of mind is always going to be wrong. In fact, the fact that you want to murder somebody is indicative that you are not in your right mind, because you're outside, and your right mind would be to protect someone. Sin itself is to be outside of your right mind, because you cannot break God's commandments and prosper. And so I think this was an interesting article, but the fact that this person, if you had a biblical perspective on this, attempted murder, didn't matter if you were 12, if you were 15, if you were 17, if you were 35, attempted murder or murder itself is not something that you give excuses for itself. But you can read the article itself. That was one of the things we added in our update. Another one we had was a little bit more disturbing, but it's interesting because people say, I'm only a red-letter Christian. I'm only a red-letter Christian, so I only listen to the Bible in red because that's where Jesus spoke, or I'm a New Testament Christian, or can you show me that in the New Testament? Or I don't really believe in God's law. God's law has been done away with. So we aren't held to God's law. The expectations are there. I don't believe in theonomy. I don't believe in Christian Reconstruction. I believe God's law has been done away with. All we care about is grace here. We don't care about law. Well, this was an interesting story because I've had discussions with people like this. The next one had to do with a town in the United Kingdom, UK, where they had an older gentleman. He actually was at the age of 80 years old. Now, this is an older gentleman, 80 years old. The problem was he was hanging around the various farms in the United Kingdom. But what was he doing? Well, he was sexually assaulting the animals, particularly cows, apparently, according to the reports that we had, and we, of course, posted the link here. Now, of course, this is a concept of bestiality. But the problem is if you don't uphold, if you don't back, if you don't believe that God's law is relevant anymore, then what was wrong with this? What was wrong with it? The fact that you may not like it? Sure, you may not like it, but that's just your personal preference. But if there is no law against it, God's law is not really against it, then why would anybody look down on the man for this? However, a good thing is that many of the humanists out there in the world are not as inconsistent as our sometimes would-be Christian friends. And they, of course, found this appalling. And they, of course, banned him from any farms in the area, and they, of course, were going to prosecute him as well. Now, Christianity, of course, sees this as an absolute abomination, and it is one a breach of one of God's laws. People ask, though, why do we need to teach it? Why do we need to teach God's law? Why is theonomy important? Why is Christian Reconstruction important? Why would we need to teach the law of God? Well, this article is one of those reasons. If culture is religion externalized, this man here clearly believes that this kind of act, bestiality, is going to be something that is okay to do. This is why we have to teach all things that God taught. We actually do have to teach against bestiality. We have to actually teach against these acts whenever we teach the Bible. It's part of the Bible. It's one of the laws of God. People would say, well, we don't really need to teach this. Well, if you follow the news at all, these kinds of articles pop up all the time. This actually is not an isolated incident of just some crazy 80-year-old man in the United Kingdom. It happens all over the world. There were articles before we started the Breaking News podcast in Germany where they actually had hotels, farms that were made for people to come to the farms, similar to like Las Vegas has brothels for prostitution. In Germany, they had farms made for people that enjoyed animals. So this stuff isn't something that is off the charts. This isn't something that is fictional. These things take place in the real world, in culture throughout the world. So Christianity is very relevant. The law of God is very relevant, and it needs to be taught. These types of things need to be taught against for very specific reasons, because they happen. And so why is it you need theonomy? Well, this is why. Because God teaches against it. God says this is an absolute abomination. And in fact, in the Bible, it was such an abomination that the man or woman, either way, whoever decided that they were going to commit such acts as this man did in the United Kingdom, this was a death penalty offense. Not only were they supposed to kill the individual, I mean the person, man or woman, but also the animal. But you can go back into that. But this is why we have to teach God's law, because these things, these sins, are not just some archaic, barbaric type of thing that mankind has elevated itself beyond and we don't have these problems anymore. We obviously do, and this is the relevancy of theonomy, teaching God's law, and its relevance for society. You can click on the link, though, and it has more description about the situation itself if you'd like to read that. Now, it goes further as we go through our news and review. We had public school being a social justice factory. Basically, if you read the article, you can click on it, read the article itself. It discusses how schools themselves, public schools, are being used to discuss what is considered to be social justice. Now, what it means is social justice is just the fact that it's going to be teaching indoctrination about what people think society is. In fact, this goes into lots of stuff. I think some of our other articles in a minute goes into it, but how saying how if a person has a certain skin color, let's say you're a white person, for instance, by being white, you are automatically oppressing other people. Where God's law doesn't teach such things. God's law doesn't teach that if your ancestors did something wrong to somebody, then you're going to be held accountable for these things. Or because of how you look, you must be automatically oppressive towards someone else. It doesn't matter how that works. What happens in biblical law is each person is held accountable for their actions. But the problem is that you have indoctrination in schools. They don't have law. They have their own religion, real and religious ideas. And the concept of social justice, many people have different ideas about what the concept is, but people have religious views and they will teach them to children. If you didn't know it, as the listener, schools themselves are not religiously neutral. And if you put your child in a school, they are going to be schooled in a school of religion, religious thought. We're going to move on, but I think you can click on the link there and read a little about that. There was another one article we had here, which also goes along with schools, and it was about a woman who recounted chilling details about how the school janitor had taken advantage of her and raped her in her school. And if you click and read on it, it's about 30 different counts of it where he had taken advantage of a young girl, and they're in the school grounds itself, taking advantage of her there. So you can read the details and things about that there. What I wanted to point out here was that whenever something happens in a homeschool situation, there was recently a homeschool situation where people who are homeschooling their kids were found out to be not good people. Well, big surprise, there are people all over the world that are not good. The people that are in maybe a private school, maybe somebody did something wrong. Well, big surprise, there are people that are evil in private schools too. But if there was somebody, and if you look at the general governmental system, all the people that are there, the people that are seducing children, the men, the women, it's really not just a man problem. Like here was a male janitor and a female student. But you can't go a week without the news where there's a female teacher who's seducing male students in the school system. Now, if these were private institutions, the government would come in and say, you have an institutional problem and you're going to be closed down today. But whenever you have the school system, we say this is an isolated incident, has nothing to do with the school system. The school system is not bad. These are just isolated incidents, and we're going to just cut ties with these people. Well, when they call it an institutional problem, they're saying that they allowed people to be in a situation where these things could occur. And it happens so much more in governmental school systems than it does any time in private or homeschooling situations. Well, we'll let you read on those things there as you can click on these links and read about the details here of somebody taking advantage of young children in the school systems, and they should definitely be held accountable for those things. Another one that also was in our stuff here was about a blind man, you can click on the link in our news and review, who had raped a 13-year-old girl at a church camp, but he was going to avoid prison. Now, that's right, a blind man who took advantage of a 13-year-old girl at a church camp, but he was going to avoid prison. Now, why would a man who admitted and was convicted of having taken advantage and raped a 13-year-old girl at a church camp avoid prison? Why would there be no prosecution? Well, because they said he had vision problems. Maybe not entirely blind, but they considered it to be enough to where it would be a problem if he was in prison. He could become a victim in jail. That's right, become a victim in jail. And we had to think about him. We had to think about making sure he was safe. And so it would be better off if he wasn't in jail. We gave him a form of probation of sorts. But if he went to jail, he could become a victim in jail. Well, this happens a lot, and it's not just this isolated case, but you can read about it. But it happens is that the people fail to remember, who's the victim here? This is the perpetrator. This is the person who abused a 13-year-old girl. Admittedly so. But we're going to have pity on the criminal, but not the victim. See, part of Reconstruction is just making sure that we have reestablished society and godly order. And that means bad people get in trouble and good people are protected. That is how this works. Now, humanistic societies, they have misplaced sympathy. There was another situation similar to this a very long time ago when I was a younger man. And there was a case where a man was a convicted rapist and also a murderer. He went to jail for about 2 years and then they let him out on parole. Well, he went back home. He lived in a trailer park of sorts. Young girl lived next door. What did he do? Well, of course, they wanted to have sympathy on the man because they didn't want him to stay in jail, try to rehabilitate him. And so what did they do? Well, what they did was they let him out of jail after about 2 years, and he did the same thing again. This time, not only did he abuse the girl, but he also buried her alive before she died in the ground. So we have misplaced sympathy for criminals versus the victims. And this is something that you'll see all throughout society, is that we have a humanistic idea of what is considered to be mercy, and they don't have mercy on the victims, they have mercy on the perpetrators. That is not a way of strength. That is an absolute debauched weakness in society, and it is an absolute injustice. Where is the justice for the young people, like this young girl here, who were abused by this person? Where is her sympathy? Well, this is something that's common in our cultures, and in Christianity, as it moves forward, it should be able to determine who is the real victim, who should actually have our sympathy. And the perpetrators, if they wanted sympathy, they wouldn't commit the crimes. And so you don't want to get in trouble, you don't like the punishments, well, don't do the crime. It's very quite simple. And so people would have a problem with God's law, how harsh it can be. But really, if you don't want God's punishments to be applied to you, well, don't commit the crime. You won't have any harsh punishments if you don't commit the crime. The problem is that people want to commit crimes, what the Bible says is a crime, what God says is a crime, without the punishments. That's really what they have a problem with. Because God says, hey, you won't get in any trouble at all, just don't do these things. And he spells them out. Don't do this and you won't get in trouble. So to avoid them, you just don't do it. But if a person commits acts that are punishable offenses, then you have no sympathy for them. They shouldn't have done those things. So reconstructing society, we should be reconstructing proper sympathy and proper justice. Now you can click on that and read more about it if you'd like. Another article we had, and once again, you can go to the News and Review and find all these articles and read them if you'd like. One was talking about strategies for reaching Gen Z is not working. We must equip teens to engage, not enrage, says Evangelist. Basically, he's talking about, in this article, how we're missing out on reaching the next generation of Christian kids, these Christian kids. The problem is that they think that it's the churches. The churches are failing. No, it's the families who are failing. How are they failing? Why is it that these children are turning out humanists? Well, it's not because the churches themselves are failing. They are, because they're more entertainment than they are anything else. But it's really the families. The families are taking their children, putting them into government schools. What do you think you're going to get? You're going to get social justice people. You're going to get people who are humanist. You're not going to get Christian children who have Christian ideals. You're not going to have them go, hey, society should look like this, and have a biblical worldview of what society should look like. They have an idea of social justice. They have an idea of humanistic morals and values, whatever it might be, but they're not based on the law of God. So it's really not the churches that are failing per se, but mostly the families themselves. So the churches are failing, but mostly it's the families that are failing. And that's something we have to really focus on. We have to reconstruct from the bottom. Education doesn't start when you're 13, 14, 18 years old. Education starts when you're 2. Education starts when you're 1. This is where we begin from the ground up. If we want to reach our generation, we want to reach our children, give them a proper view of what society should look like, then we have to start when they're young. Now, moving on from that, we had other articles. Some of them were entertaining. Like, this was an entertaining one, that they had the real rocket man, the flat earther, wants to launch himself into orbit from a ghost town. So this guy, he's got himself a man-made rocket. He's off in the middle of nowhere on private land. He wants to shoot himself up in orbit. And his goal is to prove that the Earth is flat. That's his goal. Well, I stop and say, but why do this? This is a great way to blow yourself up. It's just a great way to blow yourself up. Let's say the Earth is flat. Let's say it's round. Let's say it's rectangular. What does that matter? What does that matter for you today? People like to argue over the subject all the time. And, I'm a person that believes the common belief that the Earth is a sphere. It's round. And we travel around the sun. The moon travels around us. But let's say we got it wrong. Let's say the sun travels around the Earth. Does that matter for what I'm going to do tomorrow? Does that matter for how I'm going to go to work? Does that matter for how I'm going to treat my neighbor? How I'm going to treat my wife? Does that really matter for us? And so I think that we like to focus on these things that are unimportant, and we don't focus on the things that are really important. And that seems to be the main problem. But I don't suggest that God would say to a man like this that you need to launch yourself up into orbit. I would say you'd probably be better off to stay on the ground. You'd be better off going to work. You'd be better off taking care of your wife, better taking care of your children, better taking care of your neighbor, better helping society reconstruct things. But launching yourself into orbit so you can prove that the Earth is flat is not something that I would consider to be a godly endeavor, no matter what it is, or to prove that it's round, or to prove that it's a square, or that it sits on the back of a giant turtle. But what is important for God and for reconstructing society is that we focus on what our jobs are today. All these other things are distractions, but they're not something that's going to be what we need to focus on. There are other things as well that we came up on with our news and events about Lowe's was going to be able to give $1,000 bonuses based on tax reform. And this is something that's greatly argued among people. You can read the article that's there. But for some reason, people have the idea that if you give money to people, that's bad for the economy. Well, you know, getting money is not bad for the family. And when the family's taken care of, they're going to go out and purchase things, which are going to help businesses. When businesses get their stuff sold, then they're, of course, going to give a paycheck out to people. The real problem here is that people are upset about this idea of tax cuts and all the rest, because this doesn't empower the state taking all this money, let's say $25 million or $250 million, how much it was, and then not putting that into the pockets of the government to use, but putting it back into the hands of private citizens. Now, this doesn't empower the state. This empowers the family to better take care of itself. This is why people have a problem with the tax reform, because it's not empowering the state. It is empowering families. And as Christian Reconstructionists, we should want to put more money into the hands of the families so they can properly take care of themselves. That means limited government, limited taxation. But you can read about that as well as we go through this, and you can read more if you'd like. Now, there are other things in here as well. We're going to jump through some of these because we have quite a few that we are not going to be able to get to all of them. But I'm going to touch on a few more as we go. And you can, of course, read more because we have a whole lot on here about grades. We have a lot more about school shootings. We have more as well about a man. And this is what I'll touch on here because I thought this was interesting. We now have what I think is considered to be the next logical step. A man who has sexually abused 3 children now claims that he is trans age. That means that he doesn't identify as a, whatever it is, 35-year-old man. He now identifies as somebody who's under the age of 18 or a 6-year-old or 5-year-old. The problem is that this man is trying to say, well, you can't judge me as a 35-year-old man. I'm only a five-year-old boy because that's how I feel. Well, it's the next logical step. Whenever you start to say that people can be whatever they feel like they are, this is just the next logical step. This is probably a couple years ago. I heard somebody say, well, this is what's going to happen next. Well, it's in the news. It's exactly what they're starting to do now. What Christian Reconstructionists need to do is stop and say, we need to stop placating what is considered to be irrationality and people's wild imaginations. We need to say, this is what it is. Whenever the sky is blue, we say the sky is blue. You can't say, well, I think the sky is purple, and we have to placate you because you think the sky is purple. It's not purple. Problem is 1 + 1 = 2. It does not equal 5, no matter what you think it is. And you are a 35-year-old man or a 40-year-old man or a 15-year-old woman, whatever it is, but you're not based on what you think you are. And the problem is whenever you get away from Christianity and further away from God, people's wild, delusional imaginations start to take over. But we are not supposed to placate those things. Our jobs are to tell the truth. So whenever you hear somebody say something that is off the wall, like the sky is blue, your only job is not to be upset about it. You don't have to really argue over it. You just have to say, well, the sky is blue. If you don't think that, that's perfectly fine. But the sky itself is blue despite what you think. And it's really not something to argue over. So I don't consider these ideas about people can be what they want to be or ages or whatever to be something to argue over. It's something we can just move on past. Because once again, a person that says such things should be treated for what they are. And that means they're delusional. And you don't argue with a delusional person. But you can read the articles and see some of the uncommon sense that takes place on these things. You also went through quite a few other articles in here, which I won't get a chance to touch on all of them. But one of them I'll touch on again is that in India, they said that this is why 63 million girls are now missing in India. Well, apparently, kind of like China and other places around the world, boy children are seen as being more virtuous than having girl children. So they've been quietly aborting them or getting rid of them. And so now they have, of course, a woman shortage. They have many more men in the country than they do women, or they're not balanced. And the same thing happened in China. They've been having a one-child policy there for a very long time. And of course, whenever you have a one-child policy, they abort the children that they don't want, try to keep the one that they do, the gender that they want. And of course, whenever you take Christianity and you toss it aside, the concept of be fruitful and multiply, the concept of being open to any children that come in your way, this is the kind of perversions that you get. You destroy your society as you do. And so as Christian Reconstructionists, our jobs are to promote the concept of be fruitful and multiply. Our jobs are not to embrace concepts like this, where you despise girls or you despise boys, or that you abort the ones that you don't like, or you limit yourself to one child because, hey, this is what we're supposed to do. No, Christianity does not do that. And we reconstruct what the family is supposed to be like, how they're open to children, and how they accept them as they come. And they don't endear themselves to men or to women, but they're both equally gifts from God. And so as Christian Reconstructionists, we can look at these problems and say, this culture is hurting itself because it's rejected Christianity. This country would prosper if it accepted it. The problem of having not enough females or not enough males could be fixed if they, of course, first fixed their religion. And moving on from that, you can read all these articles, once again, from our news and review. And we have other ones. Last one I want to touch on that was article-wise was about a 7-year-old boy who was handcuffed by police after allegedly abusing his teacher. Now, if you click on the link, you can read it. There's also some videos around the internet about this boy and, you know, watching him get handcuffed. Well, apparently what happened, he was in his cafeteria. He was doing some stuff wrong with his food, and the teacher decided to remove him from the situation, took him out of the cafeteria into the hallway. And this is a 7-year-old. He began to beat on his teacher, hitting her in the back and brutally hitting her. Now, some people would say, well, he was just a 7-year-old kid. Well, I'm not sure if you've ever been hit by a 7- or 8-year-old kid or a 6-year-old kid. But yeah, they can actually hurt you quite badly, in fact. And not only that, but they're not allowed to do this. See, if you go into some of the people say about these types of ideas, these children are attacking adults, they go, well, it didn't really hurt you anyways. Is it really the point if it really hurt them, or is it the fact that they're striking the authority? Now, in the Bible, it's children are not allowed to strike their parents. And this is, of course, goes on to teachers, or this would go to policemen. Authority figures, Christian Reconstruction, of course, is about rebuilding society. And that means rebuilding the structural authority structures that are in society itself. So no, children are not allowed to attack teachers. Now, the police, of course, put this kid in handcuffs, took him downtown to give him evaluated for mental health issues. Well, he doesn't have mental health issues. He's just doing something that's overly inappropriate, which means he's attacking his teacher. He's being disrespectful, dishonoring his teacher, and attacking them. Now, the problem is when the parents were interviewed about this, the father was supporting the child and saying, well, the police were overboard. Were they really that overboard? Imagine for half a second if even by accident, while this 7-year-old boy is attacking his teacher, even by accident, reflexively, the teacher ends up hitting the kid, hitting him, maybe actually bumping him into the mouth, pushing the kid so he hits the wall and leaves a mark on the kid. Now, what are they going to do then? Are they going to consider that to be something that's really not a big deal? Wrong. I'm not sure if you understand how the world works today, but if a teacher did that, it's considered instant abuse. They would want the teacher in handcuffs. They want the teacher fired instantly. But the same parents did not want anything to happen to their 7-year-old child and thought everyone was overreacting. Now, what happens to a 7-year-old who grows up thinking he can physically assault his teachers because they did something he didn't like removing him from a classroom? Well, you're going to raise a child who's going to be 15, 16, 19, 20 years old, who's going to think that physical violence is what he can use against somebody who doesn't give him what he wants. This is how you breed a barbarian, as Rushdie coined the phrase. So we have to have restrictions, and one of the restrictions in God's law is that people were not allowed to attack their authorities. Specifically, children could not attack their parents. And of course, a teacher is a parental location. So this is something that is not acceptable under any circumstances whatsoever. Now, you can read the article, but as humanism further develops, it erodes the foundations of society. It erodes the family, it erodes the culture, it erodes authority, it erodes everything to where the individual is able to do anything they want to anyone, and they're not supposed to get in trouble. And we won't have time to get into what happens on college campuses, but this kind of thing happens a lot where they're allowed to say and do anything that they want and with no repercussions whatsoever. We wonder why we live in a culture of people who think they can block interstates, you know, put their arms across interstates and block people's traffic, and that nothing's supposed to happen to these people. They can picket, they can throw rocks at people, the police officers, and nothing's supposed to happen. They can attack an officer, and they're not supposed to end up getting shot by the officer. All the different things that happen, and of course, this is not saying that abuse of authority by, you know, parents, teachers, or police is ever okay. What we're saying here is that we have to first start by saying we have to honor authority, reestablish that concept, and that it can't happen. Now, we spent a lot of time covering these things for this episode, lots of events, but we should be looking, and we're just trying to give you an idea of how to evaluate news and events and cultures and go, well, this is something that we need to look at, and here's an event, but what would we be supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to reconstruct these ideas? What is this supposed to teach us? There's also some videos and things with our news and reviews. I won't get a chance to touch on all those, but one of those had to do where people, of course, were in an Indian religious thing where they're getting pierced and walking on coals and abusing themselves. There are other ones where a young girl was caught slapping a soldier, and then the father said, this is a good idea. She needs to do this. Well, not a good idea to teach your children to go out and to slap soldiers or police officers. It's a good way for them to get in trouble. It's a good way for them to get arrested. It's a good way for them to get killed. And so if a father was going to say, this is a good idea, this is not a good way to teach your children. But you can watch the videos and things like that. Once again, basic respect for authority and basic keeping yourself safe. Even in a pagan culture, you wouldn't teach your child to go up. And even if the soldier was an evil man, going up there and slapping them in the face is a very, very bad idea. It's a good way to get yourself killed, not a good way to preserve yourself in a bad society. There's a couple other videos on there, and the last one that we had was, of course, the recent meeting that we had, the quarterly Recon Abolitionist Gathering, and we added the video there at the bottom of our feed as well. So if you didn't catch that, it took place in Texas, not this weekend, but the week before, and you can also catch it on there. But hopefully this is giving you a lot of things to think about. This has been our news and review episode where we're kind of touching on some of the news articles. We won't be touching all of them. Sometimes we're going to be doing book reviews. Sometimes we have upcoming interviews. Like, we've also got upcoming interviews with people in the Christian community that are Reformed or Reconstructionists that are doing things, various types of things, maybe operating schools, or maybe they're operating, starting conferences, or they are doing other things that are very useful resources for people. But things that people are doing out there, we have some basic short interviews with them as well coming up on the Breaking News podcast. We'll try to keep you informed, but remember this, and this is kind of our hopes and intentions on the Breaking News podcast, is that you would look at culture and see how things need to be reconstructed. And the number one thing you have to know is not just what's going on in the world, but what is the solution to fixing these types of problems. If you see this problem, well, what would God say is about this problem? How do we evaluate these issues? And we do that by going back to the Bible. We've said this lots of times, but theonomy itself means nothing but God's law. That's your standard. But once you drop God's standard, and you go through this, all these different news articles we touched on here, and you can't evaluate the culture unless you have a standard. And if your standard is not theonomy, meaning God's law, then it must be autonomy or man's law, or we're going to make it ourselves, we're going to be humanist. So something is going to be your standard. And if your standard is not God's law, then you're only left with humanism and subjectivism someplace else. Another thing that we have to remember about this is that Christian Reconstruction is not some kind of an idea that's made up for somebody, some kind of sect of Christianity. All it means is taking the Bible, taking the law of God, and applying that to our lives. And it doesn't start in, if you notice, we didn't really have any articles about politics here, because I want us to talk about the culture mostly on Breaking News podcast. Now, we will be talking about some things about politics maybe here and there, but most of them will be talking about news and events that are happening in the culture at large and focusing on those types of things. Because as we fix those things, then the other things at the top, the bigger things in society, the cultures, the governmental structures, those things will also start to be reconstructed at the same time. When you reconstruct the man, you reconstruct his family. When you reconstruct the family, you reconstruct the businesses. When you reconstruct the businesses, you reconstruct the communities. And as the communities are reconstructed, so is the society. So it's a bottom-up type of regeneration or sanctification of society. And if you look at these events we've talked about, we have a whole lot to teach. And so we're not just talking about going around asking people to pray a prayer, but you have to have that which is the standard to help direct the man, the family, the church, the business, the society, the culture. And that is God's law. That is why theonomy is so important, because you have to have a standard, and the standard is not man. Well, thank you for joining us for this edition of the Breaking News podcast. And if you'd like to catch more episodes of the Breaking News podcast, you can go to our website, therecon.com/breaking-news, to find the other episodes of this podcast or some that you've missed. And of course, if you scroll to the bottom of that page, you can also click on and find the content that we were discussing today at the very bottom, called News in Review. And this was January 29th through February 1st, 2018, news and events we were discussing. And also remember, you can enter to win the book that we did from last week, The Backward Christian Soldier by Gary North, absolutely for free, just by clicking on that and entering to win absolutely for free. So thank you for joining us again for Breaking News. Join us again next week. We'll have new content and new information for you. Until then, thank you for joining us, and God bless.
The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network brings to you a complete lineup of podcasts where you will hear practical and tactical theology. Our desire is not simply that you consume our shows, but that you also live out your faith in every area of life. We can talk all day long about these things, but if we fail to put them into practice, then we fail as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, our King. Subscribe now to your favorite Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network shows, or you can subscribe to the Reconstructionist Radio Master Feed, where all of the content we produce, including the audiobooks and audio articles, will pop up as soon as they are available. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to volunteer as a narrator or to partner with this ministry financially. May the Holy Spirit stir you into action for Christ and His kingdom.